Thank you, Pastor Armin. It's great to be here today. God bless you for being here. And thanks for inviting me. It's so exciting to come and talk about choosing to forgive and getting ourselves healed and getting ourselves set free. Amen. I'm privileged to pastor a church in Las Vegas. I'm the founding pastor of Peaceway Christian Center, and I've been there for 31 years. And so I was young and now I'm old, but anyway. My son Christian is here. Christian, would you stand? Just acknowledge him if you would, please. He's traveling with me, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, folks, it's exciting. This seminar that's coming up is designed so that you can get the truth. Jesus said, the truth will set you free. And I've noticed that it is the nature of God to heal us. And the only way that he heals us is if his truth gets in here first and then down to here. And so that's what we're going to be taking a look at. This seminar, I've spoken this seminar in many nations of the world, and I'm looking forward to do it here at his house. And on this Saturday in August the 26th, amen, we're going to have a great time. Let's get right to it. Amen. Our sermon title today is Teach Us to Pray, the Mandate to Forgive. Teach Us to Pray, the Mandate to Forgive. And forgiveness means giving up all hope for a better past. Forgiveness means giving up all hope for a better past. Lily Tomlin shares that. She's an actress, comedian. And the past cannot be changed, friends. The past cannot be changed. It can only be healed. The past is what it is. And Jesus wants us to have healing in our life. And that's why he commands his followers to understand and practice forgiveness. I've had the privilege to write a book on the subject. In fact, here's the English version. I've just given it to your pastor. And we've just translated it and getting ready to print it in Armenian. And so we should have that ready for you to take with you. You don't want to take me home with you because I eat too much. But you can take home the value of the seminar in book form when we have this on the 26th. I have been studying forgiveness for 42 years. I started when I was 16 years of age. And the Lord has just been revealing things. So I've not only studied it, but I practiced forgiveness. Forgiveness, I have practiced it in my life. And I tell you what, it is a freeing and powerful thing when we follow Jesus in forgiveness. Now, the title of the book is Forgiveness, It Is Not Optional. Forgiveness, it is not optional. So, this is true for every Christian. In fact, it's true for everybody, period. But today we're dealing with Christians. If you have been offended, if you have been hurt, if you've been brutalized, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you must forgive the person or the group or the entity that has done this to you. Jesus not only mandates it, he commands us to practice and live in forgiveness. In fact, in the Lord's Prayer, he modeled it. He said, "And forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors." And then Jesus would go to the cross where he died for you and me, and he would say these famous words, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." He had already forgiven us as he was dying on the cross, a terrible death. He forgave us because our sins put him there. And then he turns to God the Father and says, "Father, forgive us. Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Forgiveness is the heartbeat of God. So let us take a look at the most famous prayer in the history of the world. Let's see if we have it up there. Here we go. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Next slide. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Let's read that out loud together. Ready? Begin. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So now what's powerful about this passage is this. And this is our first point. I don't know if you're taking notes today. But the Lord's Prayer teaches us to have already forgiven others when we come to God and ask for forgiveness of our sins. And of course, this teaches us to practice what I call the lifestyle of forgiveness. Jesus is emphatically stating, it's totally important that we choose to forgive. And God is calling us to forgive people. And he's saying it is conditional. That if we want our sins forgiven, then we must be a people that understand that we need to forgive others. The lifestyle of forgiveness teaches us that we must choose to forgive those who've hurt and brutalized us. Now, I've been pastoring a long time. I'm an old man, okay? And I've heard a lot of different things about forgiveness. And people always come and say, well, I don't feel like forgiving. Maybe you've said that. Or I don't have that forgiving feeling. I don't know what that is. The Bible doesn't talk about feeling forgiveness. It says that it's something that we need to do from our heart. But there is no feeling of forgiveness. But demons will tell us that so that we will not forgive. Jesus is saying in the famous prayer, the motto prayer, is that if we're going to come to God and say, God, will you forgive me of my sins? Then we had better already forgiven other people of their sins. Otherwise, it's a double standard. And God does not allow that in this area. Sir William Temple correctly observed, only one petition in the Lord's Prayer has any condition attached to it. It is the condition of forgiveness. So from God's point of view, it's a big deal that we forgive others if we expect God to forgive us. So I'd like us to go to the next slide. It says, I must forgive others if I expect God to forgive me. Let's say that out loud, everybody. I must forgive others if I expect God to forgive me. Now I want you to say it like you really mean it. Okay, that was your golfing voice. Let's see, you guys play soccer, right? Football, Armenian. Let's give me your goal one, okay? Here we go. Let's say it boldly. I must forgive others if I expect God to forgive me. Wow. Amen. That's an amen. So to emphasize the importance of forgiving others, Jesus goes right on teaching about forgiveness after he finishes the Lord's Prayer. We all know the famous prayer. How many of you know the two verses after it? Wow. Here it is, our second point for today. If we do not forgive others, this is a problem. If we do not forgive others, then God will not forgive us. Say, Pastor, where does that say it in Scripture? I'm glad you asked. It's right here. It's the next two verses after the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. It reads this way, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, these are the words of Jesus, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Hallelujah. I want my sins forgiven. How about you? Praise the Lord. So I'm going to forgive others. But there's a but here. Verse 15. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I wish we could just take that and erase it out of Scripture. I cannot be in a position where I try to get into heaven with my sins unforgiven and my sins still attached to me. Folks, the truth is this. God does not allow us to live in hypocrisy when it comes to the issue of forgiveness. He says this: if you want to be forgiven of your sins, then you must forgive others. And if you will not forgive others, then that is what I'm going to mean out to you. I will not forgive you. This is the first chapter of my book that I've written. I just start off and I, boom, because it hits me so hard. What else can this mean? God help us. How does a person make heaven, which is a sinless place, if their sins are still attached to them and they've not been forgiven by God? And here's the sad thing. We would let the terrible thing that has happened to us, that has hurt us here on earth, keep us out of heaven. That is double punishment. And living in unforgiveness will destroy your life and your eternity. So don't let it. If you have been hurt, if you've been brutalized, if you've been offended, God wants to set you free. And it's through the process of choosing to forgive and learning how to practice biblical forgiveness. In the seminar on the 26th, I'm going to teach you everything I know. Everything I know that I've learned over a 42-year period about forgiveness. I'm going to teach you the 7 things that are going to happen if you don't forgive. And then I'm going to teach you how to forgive. And then I'm going to teach you the lies that demons are going to tell you to stop you from forgiving. I've been studying this subject a long time. And the Lord is calling us to embrace forgiveness and do what Jesus wants us to do, has taught us to do. So the question is, how? Well, part of the answer is in this next point, and the rest of the answer is in our seminar. And by the way, if you know somebody that's really been hurt, I want to have you tell them now to get the time off, the day off for this seminar. Because if they want to get hurt, if they've been hurt or offended or brutalized, they have got to come and hear what the Word of God says about forgiveness. So our third point today is this: the truth sets us free. The truth sets us free. The truth is painful but necessary in order to be set free. Holding on to resentment, and I would also forgiveness, holding on to unforgiveness, is like drinking poison and waiting for your enemies to die. Unforgiveness is a poison, and it has many friends. Resentment, bitterness, hate, all the negative emotions are attached to the family of unforgiveness. Today we sing, in our fourth song today, we sing, "Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true." And then later on in the song we sing, "I am healed. I am free." Now listen, the reason Jesus forgave us, because it was necessary for us to receive forgiveness so that we can come into the family of God and so that we can go to heaven. And now that we have received forgiveness from the Lord, He mandates that we do this for others. Because healed people help to heal people. Hurt people hurt people. I was in Madrid, Spain, a number of years ago. My wife is a Spaniard, half Spaniard, and born in Madrid, España. So I've had the opportunity to go and visit the land there. So I did the seminar there. I worked with our missionary, Scott Smith. Scott and Marisa Smith, they've been missionaries. She's from the country, and Scott's been there about 44 years as a missionary. I met a young woman there, about 27 years of age, and I'm going to call her name Emma. And she was at the seminar that I conducted, and then she asked to meet me afterwards, and so we decided to meet at a restaurant in Madrid. Emma did not get healed in her life. She didn't get healed because she didn't know the truth. She didn't know the truth about forgiveness. If you don't know about something, then you can't get healed. And that's the purpose of the seminar, so that you can have a complete and thorough understanding of forgiveness. Now, what happened is she had a problem with her older cousin, who was around 40. And Emma, and I'll call her cousin Maria, Emma is unmarried. She's engaged to be married next year to a medical doctor. And her cousin is married with children, and she has a very busy life. And Emma is very upset about and unhappy and angry with Maria because they never get together unless Emma gives the invitation. Her cousin never makes the overture to get together. And so we sit here talking about this, and we discover that she needs to forgive her cousin for ignoring her, for devaluing her, not loving her enough to spend time with her, and not calling her. Also, for not walking down the stairs to say hello. The whole family lives in an apartment flat, one big building. And on different levels of the building are different homes. And her cousin never once walked down the flight of stairs, one flight of stairs, and said hi to her. So they've lived in the same building for many years. And it comes out that she needs to forgive her for pretending to care about her, but not really caring about her. And as she was getting married, ladies, she offered her wedding dress to Emma, but she didn't talk to her. She talked to her mom. And so this made her very upset. Now, this is just interpersonal stuff. It happens all the time, but it's really important, folks. People can be traumatized by being ignored by others. You know what I'm talking about? It hurts. Here's this Christian woman. She's recounting how her cousin has hurt her, and how she's feeling unloved and devalued. And she's also just upset that she was offered the wedding dress, but not directly. It came through her mother. And we're sitting in this restaurant, and she begins to cry. And then she says, F her, F her, F her. But she didn't use the letter. Now here's a Christian woman that knows she shouldn't be using that language, but she was so angry, so upset. Well, so if you're living in unforgiveness, a lot of people are going to feel unloved and devalued by that. And that's what was happening to her. And she was being unloved and devalued by her cousin. She said an interesting thing to me. She said, there are a lot of bad things that are inside of me that I need to get rid of before I get married. And she's right. Because if we don't get healed and we go into a new relationship, we will carry the poison into our marriage or our new relationship, and she will begin to project that on her husband. Now, because she was so hurt, I recognize that she developed a hypersensitivity, meaning that she takes on new offenses, and those offenses create a deeper hurt. And the only way to get healed from these hurts and brutalizations that occur is to practice forgiveness. We get healed through forgiveness. Let's move to our fourth point. When we live in unforgiveness and hurts keep reoccurring, we may develop hypersensitivity that may cause us to transfer a buried hurt or devastation to another person who's also hurt us. This is called transference or projection. And so while this was all going on, I talked to Emma, and I realized that her cousin didn't treat her right, but this was an overreaction. So I asked her a question. I said, let's talk about your mom and dad. Your mom and dad love you. And she said, yes, my mom loves me. And then she hesitated and said, and my dad. And so I said, well, normally when people hesitate, there's a reason. So I began to talk to her about it. Turned out that Her dad sent her signals of not loving her her whole life. And that truth came to light, as it often does. Because remember, the truth sets us free. So what's a demon's goal for your life? To keep you not in the truth, but in the lie. And as long as a demon can keep that reality that is not true, you'll never get set free, because it's the truth that sets us free. So after a little discussion about her dad, we concluded that her dad loved her the best that he could, but he wasn't loved by his father, so he could not really possess a love to give to her, because we cannot give what we do not possess. So the dad was not loved, so how could he give love? Because he was unhealed and didn't even know it. And it turned out that her father didn't love her. In fact, she finally admitted that she was going to the therapist, and at the therapist's encouragement, she wrote her dad a letter. And she told him how she feels when he says or does hurtful comments or actions. And that's not always the best thing to do, folks. Sorry to say. Because forgiveness is not about your offender. You'll learn this in the seminar. It's about God. First God, and then you. And a lot of times if we go and try to deal with our offender or the person that's hurt us, we end up getting hurt more. Because in the model forgiveness prayer that I'm going to give you at the end of this service, I say this: so-and-so, whoever hurt you, their name, does not want or deserve to be forgiven. Most of the people that have hurt and brutalized us don't really care about us that much. Or if they do, they're in a position where they can't see the truth of what they have done. And so I don't always recommend that you go to the person that's hurt and brutalized you. In fact, if you're forgiving them, I recommend that you never do that. That you only go speak to them if they come to you and say, "Hey, I realized I hurt you. Would you forgive me?" Then of course you say, "Of course I'll forgive you." But forgiveness is not about the person that hurt you. Forgiveness is not about the offender. Forgiveness is about being obedient to Jesus and his word of forgiveness. And then secondly, it's about me getting healed. Woo, hallelujah. So the anointing of the Lord is in this place. I haven't had to sit down yet. I have a bad back, so praise the Lord. So she wrote this letter to her dad, and she gave it to him. And this is, all these things are, this is how you make me feel when you say this, or when you do this, this is how you hurt me. And it's, you know, a several page letter. He reads it, and he doesn't say anything. He puts it in his jacket, his coat pocket, he had a suit on, and he just walked out. Why? Because he didn't want to look at the truth. And then you'll never guess who found that letter. Her fiance. When he put it in his pocket, he'd not put it in correctly, and it dropped on the ground, and the rain came down. This is starting to sound like a movie. And the rain came down, and her fiancé found it on the streets of Madrid, soaking wet. The words have been washed away. And of course, what does that do to her? It hurts her even more. So we talked about the reasons why she needed to forgive her dad, and it's for not loving her and not valuing her, not spending time with her, not listening to her, not changing school when she was being bullied, treating her mother badly, and for hitting the brother, and for being harsh to both of them. And everything that she felt towards her cousin was really started by her dad. The anger, the hurt, the fear, feeling unloved, devalued. But the dad was not safe to talk to. The cousin was. But you know what? Whoever hurt you, you need to forgive them. And because if you get healed, you'll be shocked at what a place of maturity that you'll go to in God when you get healed and when you forgive people. So Our fifth point is this, and that is the goal of forgiveness is to get healed. And how do you know you're healed? Forgiveness gives us the ability to get rid of all negative emotions like hate and resentment, hurt, feeling unloved and devalued, angry, bitter. All these negative emotions will lose their hold on us when we reach the state of forgiveness. I was talking to the missionary in Spain that helped to write the book for Spain, and he said, that's an amazing thing. He says, most people don't even understand, they cannot even begin to understand that you can get rid of the negative emotions that you have in your life by forgiving people. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? You know, Jesus said when he was going to the cross, he said, the prince of this world comes and he has no hold on, or in some versions, no hold in me. What does that mean? It means Satan comes to Jesus, but on the inside of Jesus, there's no feeling of feeling unloved or devalued or anger or bitterness or resentment or hate. No negative emotion. Why? Because Satan had no hold on him because Jesus forgave. He taught us to, and then he lived it out when he went to the cross. And I would submit to you this, and that is, let's say Jesus would have said, okay, this is not fair. These aren't my sins, they're your sins. Father, this is not fair. Was that the truth? Of course it's the truth. They weren't his sins he was dying for. He was dying for my sins and your sins. But let's say he would have said, okay, Father, I'm not going to do this. This is unfair. I'm coming off the cross. Send the angels. We're going to destroy these people that are ungrateful and unworthy. Did he have the power to do it? Yes, he did. But he didn't. But had he done that, his ministry would have become limited because he wouldn't have been the Savior of the world. Jesus wouldn't have been the Redeemer of mankind. That part that's in Philippians that says that he was obedient, even obedient to death on a cross. Therefore, he is to be given the name that is above all other names. That passage would not be there. So do you see how the ministry of God himself would have been limited had he not forgiven? Had he done what was fair? But let me tell you a little secret about this. When we begin to practice and live in forgiveness, we begin to move into out of the law, and the law is good, but there's a greater law. It's called the law of love, and it's where the miracles of God begin to flow in our life. And when we get healed, then we begin to live in the law of love. And I have some illustrations that I'll be sharing with you about that. So the goal of forgiveness is to get healed. And forgiveness gets rid of all the negative emotions that we have. In fact, in another seminar that I do, and maybe you can have me come back, brother, at some point, but I teach you how to live in emotional holiness. Take all the negative emotions and take authority over them in the name of Jesus. Because, you know, anger is not from God. When we're angry, we usually hurt relationships if we act out. Anybody here been angry? Okay. And the rest of you that didn't raise your hand, well, you've probably been angry too. You know, when we're angry, we do things that are not right, but they seem right. They seem so right. And, you know, God is calling us to not live in anger, but to live in love and to choose to love. Well, there was a a story that I want to tell you, share with you. It is, the date is 1944, and the place is Germany. And it's Christmas Day, 1944. And there was a pastor that had been in prison about 2.5, 3 years. And he'd been in this prison camp. And his wife, from time to time, had brought him food. And so on Christmas Day, the commandant had the pastor called into his office. He said, "I want you to see," and by the way, the man was skin and bones because he wasn't eating much. He just had lost so much weight. And the commandant said to the pastor, "I want you to see the lovely Christmas dinner your wife has brought for you before I eat it." And there it is. Pastor's starving, and this commandant is eating his food that his wife had prepared for him. And then the commandant said, "As a matter of fact, I have enjoyed every meal that your wife has brought you since you've been in this prison. She is a wonderful cook." And the pastor looked at the commandant and he said, "Commandant, I hope you enjoy your meal, your Christmas meal." The commandant looks at him and says, "He's gone crazy. Get him out of here." Well, as you know, 1944 was the end of the war. That Christmas, that was the last Christmas of the war in Europe. So 2 years later, the pastor remembers the commandant, who is now a civilian. He finds out where he's living, and he goes and he knocks on the door. The commandant answers the door. And he looks at the pastor, and the pastor says, "Do you remember me?" And the commandant says, "No, I don't remember you. I don't think I've ever seen you." See, he'd gained his weight back, so he didn't look like the same person. And the pastor said, "Are you sure that you do not know me?" And the commandant looks at him and says, "Well, I don't think I know you. I've never seen you." And then he said, "I was in your office on Christmas Day, 1944. The commandant rose back in fear. And he said, "Don't be alarmed. I'm not here to hurt you." He said, He said, "I remember that you love my wife's cooking, and you remember my wife." And he pointed to us, the wife, and the commandant goes, "Oh, yes." He says, "Well, we brought a basket of her food, and we'd love to have dinner with you and your wife." So I hurriedly set the table. Halfway through the dinner, the commandant throws down his fork and he says, "What are you trying to do to me?" He says, "I'm not trying to do anything to you." He says, "I just realized that you don't know about Jesus Christ and the fact that you can have him in your life, that he could run your life and change your life and make you into a new person." And he began to share about Jesus Christ. And as the story goes, before dinner was through, two more souls were added to the kingdom of God. So when we forgive, we begin to live in a new thing called not the law, but the law of love. And it begins to release us to levels of ministry that we cannot get to if we live in unforgiveness. It changes us and makes us more like God. People say, "I want to be like Christ. I want to be like God." Well, then learn to forgive. Learn to practice forgiveness. Make it your lifestyle. Here's what I like to teach people to do. To get so good at forgiving that when you get offended, because offenses are coming, you know that, you cannot stop from being hurt or brutalized. But when they show up, you, within a matter of hours, not days, hours, you begin to forgive. And then the healing power of God begins to flow. And it is so powerful. And I've got a number of stories that I'll be sharing with you at the seminar that we do on August the 26th. I want to close with the forgiveness prayer that I've written. It's a model forgiveness prayer. The first point is this: in the name of Jesus Christ, I choose to forgive, and then that's left blank. So the person that hurt and brutalized you, or it could be a group too. Some people need to forgive the Democrats. Some people need to forgive the Republicans. Some people need to forgive the president and the congressmen and the senators. Don't let those people send you to hell by living in unforgiveness towards them. Amen? Do you hear me? So you put the person, group, or entity in there. In the name of Jesus Christ, I choose to forgive, and then say the name of the person or the group for, and this is important, you need to list the ways they've hurt you. Because we're going to get specific about what's inside of us. The negative things that are inside of us, we have to say what they did to us and how it made us feel or how it made us react. It's imperative that we get specific. Second point of this forgiveness prayer. I don't feel like forgiving, and then you say their name again. But here's a key word. But I choose to do so out of obedience to Jesus Christ. We do not feel like forgiving. In fact, again, when people say, oh, Pastor David, I don't feel like forgiving, or I don't have the forgiveness feeling, I say, praise God, you don't need it. You just need to choose to do it. Now you say, well, Pastor, I want some scripture for this. I'm going to give it to you in the seminar. I have a scripture verse that talks about the second word of power in the New Testament. The first word is dunamis. I think you probably know about that. The Holy Spirit power on the day of Pentecost and the miracles when the Holy Spirit moves. That's the word, Greek word dunamis. There's another word, a second word, that talks about power, the power of God. And it is the Greek word exousia. And it means the power to choose with God's moral authority. That's the power that you have. And so therefore, when you practice forgiveness, you can say, I don't feel like forgiving in their name, but I choose to do so. Why are you doing it? Out of obedience to Jesus Christ. The next line. I choose to forgive by my will because the Lord wants me to, and I want to be more like Christ in every way. Next line. I choose to forgive by my will because the... Oh, I read that again. Go to the next slide, brother. I understand that I forgive for Christ, not because, and then put the name of the person in, deserves it or wants it. This is really important. Why are you forgiving? For Jesus. Jesus, because he commands us to. And that's the primary reason. And then the second reason is, I want to get healed. And the only way I can get healed is to choose to forgive. So I understand that I forgive for Christ, not because the name of the person deserves it or wants it. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Notice this is really important. The people that you need to forgive, most of them, they don't deserve to be forgiven. So let's just not worry about that. Because I've had people say, well, they don't deserve to be forgiven. I go, that's right, they don't. But that is not a condition. See, demons will lie to people and say, okay, you don't forgive them because they don't deserve it. Okay, so what that means is you should disobey Jesus because somebody else has done you wrong and they don't deserve to be forgiven. That's not how I live my Christian life. My Christian life is led in obedience to the Lord. So it doesn't matter if they deserve it. And guess what? I don't deserve to be forgiven of my sins. But I'm not operating on what I deserve, hallelujah, with Jesus. I'm operating on his love, which translates into his grace. And his grace means it's something good that happens to you that you've not earned. That's the grace of God is that flows from the love of God means I get to get into the family of God because of Jesus. And I get to go to heaven because of Jesus. That's the grace of God. And that flows from his love. And his Forgiveness. What if he'd not forgiven us again? Wow. And then mercy. What do I deserve? I deserve to be in hell. That's what I deserve. But God's mercy has flowed to me, and I'm not receiving the bad thing that I deserve. So, wow. So, when we say the person that's hurt and brutalized you doesn't deserve it, that's a true statement most of the time. Not always, but most of the time. That's why I put it in this model prayer. And then, doesn't deserve it or wants it. People that have hurt and brutalized you don't want your forgiveness, as a rule. Now, if they do, that's fine, but I'm just saying, don't expect it. Do not expect it. They're not the focus. Jesus is, and becoming more like him. Fifth point, since I'm choosing to forgive, I affirm that and say their name again did hurt me. He, she, they is are guilty of hurting me, but through Christ, I choose to forgive him, her, them. Wow. See, when you stand up and you proclaim this as a believer and use your authority to choose, the demons and the angels that are around you that are in the spiritual world take note. You say, well, Pastor David, how come I've got so much power? Because you're linked to the source of power, who is Jesus Christ. He died for you. He rose again. He accepted you in. You're in now in the family of God, and the third person of the adorable Godhead lives in you. And so the Holy Spirit is in you. You're the new temple of God. It's not over in Israel. Maybe someday it will be again, but it's going to be in both places then, because in the temple, the scripture says that we are now the temple of God. Wow. So what becomes powerful is we make this choice to forgive, and it sets us free. And sometimes it sets the person that hurt you free, but not always. So, well, let's get a head start on the seminar. Are you ready? Is God speaking to you about somebody you need to forgive? Okay, let's be honest. I'm not going to have you say their name. But if God is speaking to you about someone or some group that you need to forgive, raise your hand. Okay? A few of us. Okay. Let's pray this prayer out loud, okay? In fact, when you come to the part where their name is, I want you just to quietly say it under your breath. Not so that anyone can hear you, but God will hear you. But let's all pray this prayer together. In the name of Jesus Christ, I choose to forgive so-and-so for such-and-such. Take a moment to fill those blanks in. I don't feel like forgiving, and then say their name. But I choose to do so out of obedience to Jesus Christ. I choose to forgive by my will because the Lord wants me to. And I want to be more like Christ in every way. I understand that I forgive for Christ. Not because deserves it or wants it. Just say their name again. Since I'm choosing to forgive, I affirm that, say their name again, did hurt me. They are guilty of hurting me, but through Christ I choose to forgive. In Jesus' name I pray this prayer. Amen. Now, what you're going to learn is that forgiveness is not a one-time act. Forgiveness is a process. And the process has started today. And I think Pastor Armin is going to have this prayer next week for you. So you can begin to pray this prayer. And I'll tell you how to do it. I mean, when to do it. But will you listen to me carefully about this? Demons cannot read your mind. Demons don't have the ability to know what you're thinking. Only God knows that. Demons are not omniscient. Only God knows. So when you pray this prayer, when you do any prayer, it's important that you speak it out loud, as if someone was in the room. Because there's angels and demons around us most of the time. We wrestle, Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness, and heavenly realms. And trust me, when you begin to forgive and you speak it out loud, then because of who you are in Christ, demons have to understand that you are declaring the rightness of God in forgiveness. And the rightness of God is the righteousness of God. You want to practice the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, then forgive people. Ooh, I get a witness of the Spirit here. And so it's important. You say, well, Pastor David, I'm not comfortable saying it out loud. Well, get comfortable. You need to free yourself in the Lord. And be ready to boldly say it out loud. And so today we've started the process. I'll add one more thing. I guess I've got a minute to do that. When we get hurt, especially when we're children, then we become an adult, and then we're okay with the person that hurt us when we were a child. So now here's a lie we tell ourselves. That person didn't hurt me. But you know, the kid at 8, 9, 5, 3, 2, you know, whatever the age was where the kid got hurt, that little kid inside of you is still hurt. But what you've done is you've buried it. Problem is you've buried toxic waste. And it bubbles back to the surface in our lives at people that don't deserve it. And the goal of this, by these hurts that are in our life, the goal by demonic forces is to get us to destroy every relationship that we have and to get us to act immaturely. And so when you get healed by choosing to forgive, then you begin to get healed of that kid that is still hurt and that poison that is still down deep inside of you. Because unforgiveness, make no mistake, it is poison. And if it's in your life, and see, here's why I'm bringing it up, because some of us here today have got some unforgiveness and we don't even know it. We think we're healed. Because now as an adult, you've learned to massage it. You've learned to work with it. The person that hurt you, you know them now as there's two adults, and it's a different relationship. It's good even. You know what? If they hurt you and you've not forgiven them, that poison is deep down inside. It's the coping mechanism that we have in every one of us. The coping mechanism when we're children is to bury it. And I don't think that's bad. I think that's good, because how can you continue? You know, children, when you're a child, don't have any ability to make any adjustments in their life. They've just got to live with it. But now that you're an adult, and now that you're going to be exposed to the message of Jesus' forgiveness and what he teaches, he's going to possibly bring this back to your memory, bring it back to your mind, and let you know that you need to get healed. Why? Because it is the nature of God to heal. He does not leave us the way he finds us. He comes to heal us. And in order for that to happen, we have to bring it back. We have to let the Holy Spirit bring it back up in our life. But the pain will now be used as an investment in healing. And I'll explain that in the seminar. So praise the Lord. Pastor, thank you for the privilege of coming. And I'm just going to turn it over to you. I'm actually quitting on time. Can you believe it? Praise God.
Thank you. You made it.
Thank you. Bless you, folks. Yeah.